Well, it's an honor to be here tonight to preach. Pastor's getting on a plane right now, going to Dallas. And I tried to get out of this tonight, not because I didn't want to preach, but that baby dedication thing just scares me. Because you know, when I preach, I'm in control. But when you bring children into the mix, you're just out of control, and there's no telling what's going to happen, and you know, all kind of chaos can break out. I was back there tonight, and the pastor was getting ready to go. I said, you know, that plane's going to be late. I mean, that storm going into Dallas, well, you just might as well just come on in here and do this, but he wouldn't do it. He said, no, you got it. And so, but you know, children, there's just something about a child. They bring a smile to our face. I want to speak about children tonight. A few weeks back, I was walking in the hallway on Wednesday night, and I saw Scott over here with his daughter, Lily Grace. And she had, I think, made a piece of artwork for the pastor. And she wanted to take it to the pastor. And I knew he was in a meeting, but I knew that wouldn't matter to him. And so we walked out, knocked on the door, opened the door, and there was a bunch of men sitting in his office. And I said, Pastor Lily Grace. And he got up, and he came over and hugged her and took the... And those guys, every man in there was smiling. And that was totally appropriate that she could walk in the middle of that meeting because of just who what a child represents in our lives and how we receive children, how we love children. And I knew, of course, the pastor's heart for children. Yeah, you know, I've seen a metamorphosis in our pastor's life over the last couple of years. I don't know exactly what brought that about. I do know that when Rachel was first with child, and the whole prospect of grandchildren, you know, he was just it won't change anything, and then yeah. And then I went to Romania with him, and he's out of the country. He's not around you. And he was just beside himself with excitement over this child coming. He had the ultrasound picture, and he was showing everybody and talking about it. And I was, wait a second, who is this guy? His grandpa was coming out, is what that was. And when we think of children, we love children because there's a humility in a child. And I want to talk about humility tonight and how we find that in children and how the Lord calls us to be people who are humble and to receive him as a little child. I'll be speaking that out of Matthew chapter 11. And the last five verses, six verses of that chapter, we'll begin reading in verse 25 in just a moment. When we think of the concept of humility, it really is a dying virtue in our society. When's the last time you've heard of humility being taught in school, or a college class on humility? Or when's the last time that you've had some corporate training? And you know, they may talk about service and all this stuff, but humility is rarely ever mentioned. In a lot of ways, we're becoming much like ancient Rome. The Romans despised the word humility. That was only something for slaves. It was not something for the Roman people. That was just for conquered folks, to be humble. And I'm afraid that our society is moving away from humility. We're becoming more and more arrogant, more and more prideful. But Jesus talks to us about what it means to be humble like a child. And I want to look at three things that we find in children that endear us to children. And Jesus mentioned those right here in these verses. And in verse 25, he says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father. He's praying. Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes, to children, to those with a humble spirit, those who are willing to receive these things as a child would. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. And verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Three characteristics of humility that are found is found in children. That's why we look at a child, we smile, we want to receive children, because there's a humbleness in them. You have a small child, you walk into a crowded room, and that child lights that room up, because there's some things about that child that just makes us smile, just makes us want to receive that child. And the first of those is number one, the trust of a child. A child is a trusting being. They really, really are. We have to teach children not to trust. Jesus said, come to me, trust me, come to me. In this world, we have children, we begin teaching them, well, don't talk to strangers. Now, I'm not saying these are bad things, but we have to teach them not to be so trusting. Don't talk to strangers. Don't believe everything you see on television. Don't believe everything you read on websites. You know, we begin to tell children that you can't be as trusting as you want to be. And how sad is that? That we have to teach almost skepticism and suspicion to children because of the evilness of humanity and all of the terrible things that happen in the world around us. And yet a child is a very trusting person. They want to trust. They trust their parents. They go to sleep at night without a care in the world. They know that they're going to be taken care of. They're trusting those that they are with to look after them and to care for them. They're a trusting being. And that's what Jesus is saying, that we should be people who are willing to trust him. He says, come to me. Trust in me. When we look at the Lord Jesus, he was constantly modeling trust in his Father. We see him at every turn praying unto the Father, seeking the Father, crying out to his Father. We see him saying to us that I can do nothing on my own, only what the Father shows me to do. Even at the end, his enemies would taunt him as he hung on the cross. He trusted God. Let God save him now. That was the hallmark of his life, was that he trusted the Father. His final words were a declaration of his trust. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Trust. And Jesus says, it's not the wise, it's not the prudent, it's the babes that you have unveiled the kingdom to and you've revealed truth to. Those who are willing to come, those who are willing to trust, those who don't say, I don't need God. I can trust myself. I can figure out life on my own. I don't need God's plan. I don't need what he has for me. I don't need anything. In our smugness and our arrogance, we live our lives thinking, I don't need something. But a child knows they need to trust. A child knows they need their parents. I marvel at my children who just get in my car and they just trust that wherever we're going to get them there. And they couldn't tell you how to get back to the house to save their lives. Why is that? Because they trust their parents we're going to bring them back to their home. They're not leaving breadcrumbs behind. They're not saying, okay, we turned here and there's a trusting in a child. And that's what Jesus is calling us to. See, it takes humility to trust God rather than to trust ourselves and to trust the world. The second thing we see where he says, and take my yoke upon you and learn from me. This is the curiosity of a child. Children are curious, curious, curious beings. They will drive you absolutely insane with questions. First time they ask that question, why, is cute. And that lasts about 10 minutes. And then you wish they'd never learned that word. Why? Why are we doing this? Why? What? And they want to learn. They want to soak in everything they can. They are insatiable at learning. And Jesus says, those who come to me must also be learners. In athletics, coaches call this coachable. They look at an athlete and they say, well, she's coachable, or he's not coachable. When you get an athlete that's not coachable, you can mark it down. They're going to be a failure. They're going to have a disaster because they think they know everything. They think that no one can teach them. They think they are the greatest and the best. They don't need a coach. They don't need someone to... And those are some of the hardest people to deal with. Those who come in thinking, I don't need anything. You can't teach me anything. They're not teachable. They are not coachable. And Jesus said, learn of me. A Christian should always be a learner. You see, if you come to the place in your life where you think, I'm a mature Christian now, which means I know everything, you're nowhere close to being a mature Christian, because a mature Christian realizes that they don't have all the answers. They realize they need this book every day. They don't look at this book and say, well, I've read this book, I know what's in here. Because a true learner, those who are learning from Christ, realizes that every time they open this book, they learn something new. They can read the same passage over and over, and every time something new will come, because there's just something about the Word of God. And we can learn. We never reach a point where we stop learning. How you doing in your learning tonight, Christians? Are you wanting to learn more about the Lord? So the more I learn about Him, the less impressed I am with Stan Lewis. And the less impressed I am with my own righteousness. Because the closer I get to Him, the uglier and the more sinful I seem. And the more His grace just begins to just burn even brighter as I realize more and more of who I am and just how sinful and how selfish and how devilish I can be as a person, how I need Him, and I need to learn more about Him. I need to learn more of His ways. I need Him to teach me over and over and over again. This morning we were in Sunday school class, I'm teaching, and pretty much the folks in there have been Christians for a long time. And we're talking about tithing, and we're talking about our treasure and what that means. And I was amazed as we dialogued back and forth. Here are no doubt people who've been Christians for decades. We were relearning principles that we knew but had maybe forgotten, and those principles were being reintroduced to us, and we needed to be reminded. But I mean, I was learning some stuff. I mean, every time I'm in one of those classes, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I need to write that. Now that's good stuff. We must always be learning. You know, arrogance stops us from learning. It does. When you become arrogant, mark it down, you stop learning. And that is a dangerous thing. It's always dangerous. If you're in law enforcement and you become arrogant, you think, I got this thing licked, you're about to get in trouble. If you're a pilot, they say the most dangerous time for a pilot is between the hours of about 200 hours and 400 hours, where they've been flying for about 200 hours, and that's where a lot of them get real smug, and they think, hey, I've got this thing nailed. I can fly this plane. I don't need to learn anymore, and they lose respect for the aircraft. And that's where most accidents happen in the life of a pilot, is between those magic hours of 200 to 400 hours because of arrogance. Well, I don't need help. I got it figured out. I don't need to learn. I don't need to show respect for the aircraft. And the Christian life, we come to a place where we say, you know what? I don't need that anymore. I know it. I've heard it. I don't need preaching. I don't need teaching. I don't need to be in a small group. Because I've got this thing figured out. And that's where we get in trouble. And God's got to come along and remind us that because we stop learning, we've missed some things and we've gotten ourselves in trouble. See, it takes humility to remain a learner of Christ rather than thinking that we have everything figured out. The last thing that we see is not only the trust of a child and the curiosity of a child, but we also see the values of a child. You know, children have different values than adults do. You take a child, and you can give them a little box. You give a three-year-old a little box with a 3-carat diamond ring in it. And in probably about 10 minutes, that ring's going to be lost on the floor somewhere. And that box is going to be their prized possession. They're going to be trying to figure that thing out. They're going to be playing with that. And that's going to be what they value the most. See, children have curious values. And we start out in life valuing things like relationships. But over time, we begin to lose those values that are important. When Jesus said that, take my yoke upon you, he's saying, you need to value the things that I value. You need to learn of the values that I have. I want to take from you all this stuff that you've been carrying around, and I want to give something to you. I want you to value what I give to you, because my burden is light. My burden is something that you can easily carry. I'll take the burden that you are laboring under and stumbling under. I'll take it on, and you take mine, and you'll be amazed just how easy that burden is, because you begin to value the right and proper things. It's amazing to watch children, what they value in terms of relationships. You can take two kids, and it doesn't matter the background. You can take a child who is Anglo, and you can put them with a Hispanic child or a black child or a child from Asia, and they could care less. They will play and have a big time. You turn them loose in this room, and they will be all over this place having a great time giggling and laughing, and they don't see prejudice, and they don't see all this stuff that we see, and they don't think about, you know, immigration and you know, all that stuff goes out the window for children. What they value are relationships. See, a child values their relationship with their parents. Walt Disney figured this out. That's why all the Disney movies, so many of them, it's all about a child losing a parent. I mean, you just look at the number of Disney movies where there's a parent that either dies or is absent, or the child loses their parent, orphan. I mean, because that is the greatest fear a child has, is to be separated in their relationship from their parents. But as we grow, our relationships become more strategic. They become more political and polluted with motives and prejudice. We begin to let the world infuse into us poison. And we begin to look at people, we begin to say, well, I need to get to know them because they can do this for me. And we begin to calculate the quid pro quos and what this person can do. And, well, I don't need to be with them because they're not the right kind of person. And they didn't come from the right side of the tracks. They don't have the right education. And we start thinking of all this stuff. Children don't do that, but we begin to do those kinds of things. And Jesus is saying, You're valuing the wrong things. You're taking a yoke upon you, a burden that you cannot bear. And you need to value the right things. See, we start valuing position and power and prestige and possessions over relationships. And we begin to lose touch with who we are and who God wants us to be. The values of a child. You see, our relationship to God is really what is the most important in all of our life. I mean, we're learning about that in Sunday school, about the treasure that we have, that it means nothing. It's just stuff that moss and dust will corrupt. I was with a friend in Birmingham this week who is probably not long for this world unless the Lord intervenes. And he and his wife came to Christ late in life. Very successful people, very wealthy people. The Lord has blessed them. And I've just watched this transformation in their life. How they were once very worldly people, focused on the stuff of the world and accumulating things. And the Lord, he came into their life and he brought salvation to them. And this transformation, how all this stuff means nothing. And to them, what means the most is their time with God. I was with my friend, and they've got family and friends in their home right now. Beautiful, beautiful old craftsman home built back in the 1800s. Gorgeous house. And we're sitting there, and there are folks in the house. And you know how it is when company comes. You know, you love when they come, and you love when they leave as well. And he looked at me, and he said, you know, the one thing about folks coming to visit is I've just not found any time to be alone with God. I've just not had a lot of time just to spend reading my Bible and praying. I'm thinking, here's this guy, he month, two, he's gone, and he's most concerned about his relationship with the Lord and spending time with him. He's got it. He has figured out the values that a child who comes to Christ has to have. And as we value our relationship with him, not the things that we can get in life, not the things that we can accumulate, but we value the Lord Jesus. We value our time with him. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. What is valuable? If you want to be burdened down in this world with all this stuff, you want to be laden, trying to protect what you cannot keep, you're just going to stumble and fall. It's going to grind you into the dirt. But if you'll value the things of Christ, if you'll value your relationship with him, you will find a burden that is no burden at all, a yoke that is easy to bear, and a joy to bear. So tonight, as we come to the end of this message, the question for all of us is, are we people who have humbled ourselves as a child? Humbled ourselves to where we're willing to trust and come to the Lord? Pastor asked folks this morning, when was that? When did you, and for me it was September the 11th, 1984. This arrogant 17-year-old kid who thought he had everything figured out and I had a plan for my life. I knew what I was going to do, where I was going to go, and God was in the way. And so I had pushed him to the side and he got my attention in the book of Romans, the 3rd chapter. And he humbled me and he called me. And that night, there on Broad Street, the senior year of my high school career, everything vanished in that moment. And it was just me and God. And he said, come to me. Don't miss me. I'm calling you. And I got on my knees and I trusted him. And he called me into a life of learning. Have you said yes? Have you trusted him? And number two, how are you doing with your learning? Are you learning from Christ? Or has it just become routine? Is it just something, well, you know, I've got important things to do. I've got a lot of stuff I've got to take care of. I've got business deals to do. I've got, you know, grandkids to look after. I'll learn later on. Or I've learned enough. Have you humbled yourself to where you realize I need to learn every day? And lastly, what are your values? What are your values? Are you valuing the things of the world, or do you value your relationship with Christ? and walking with Him, what's the values that you have? Tonight, Brother John's going to come and we're going to sing. If you need to come, this altar's open. If you need to talk to someone, I'll be here and happy to speak with you. And so if you've never trusted Christ, we want to invite you to do that. Say yes to Christ. But if you're a Christian, you just need to spend some time with the Lord and ask Him, Lord, humble me. Help me not to grow cold. Help me not to get crusty in my faith. Break up the fallow ground to where there is joy again and there's a humility. And I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to trust you. And I'm willing to value what you have for me. If you need to spend time with the Lord, we want to invite you. If you would join me as we pray and as we begin to sing in just a moment. Lord Jesus, we come asking for your hand to be upon us. And however that touch needs to come, with just a gentle reminder or encouragement to continue moving forward in our walk with you. Oh Lord, it may be a sharp rebuke where we've grown cold and we've gotten busy and we've found things that have grabbed our attention. And Lord, we've gotten arrogant and proud. You've blessed us, and we've turned around and claimed the blessing as something that we manufactured. Help us, Lord, to be humble. Help us, Lord, to trust you, to be curious and to learn from you, and most of all, to have the values that you have and not the values of the world. Bless us tonight, Lord. We come asking for your help. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Before John sings, Peter reminds us that we're to be clothed with humility. We're to put on this garment of humbleness. Because he reminds us that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. If you have cares tonight, I'm going to ask you to come and just say yes to the Lord. Brother John, you sing, you stand now and respond as the Lord calls you in your heart.